Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. This is the show you didn't know that you needed to hear today. We're talking about nutrition. I know you're thinking about it, right? Jeez, I just wish I knew. I know what I like. Are those things always good for me? Now, look, we'll talk about a balanced diet here today. Yes, let's get off of all the issues that were rolling around in our head and just get some Christmas cheer going. Shaylee Harney is with us, Executive Director of the Montana Beef Council, and FRDN, that is Future Registered Dietitian Lauren Black with us here today from Montana for Montana. We're going to go through some beef recipes as well. That'll be fun. Amelia Soroki, who's cow crazy, really, and knows and knows how to cook some beef. She's an account executive here, friends for a lot of people in the industry. She's going to actually call in a bit later on, too, and give us a recipe. So looking forward to that. So if you've been wondering, like, some of the biggest myths about nutrition, we're here to talk about that today. It's a Friday. Welcome alongside, only two more working days this week. Super excited about that. No, get out there and hang out in that Montana weekend. You've earned it. In studio, Shaylee Harney, Executive Director, Montana Beef Council. Lauren Black, a dietetic intern at Montana State University. First, Shaylee, hello.
Tom, great to be here and happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday to you. And Lauren Black, good to meet you.
Good to meet you as well. I'm happy to be here.
Master's of Science from Texas A&M. And then I think as I read a post, it was like on the day you got your master's degree, you headed off to Bozeman to become this internship. Congratulations on that.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I see you've done your research.
Just and it's kind of cool that it all just came together for you. Yeah. Talk about what it is that you are doing for Montana State right now.
Yes. Well, I'm a dietetic intern at Montana State. So in order to be a dietitian, you have to take some undergraduate classes. You have to have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree. And then you also have to complete supervised practice hours. Wow. So I have to complete between 1,000 and 1,200 hours of supervised practice. And that's what the internship is. So I'm here in Montana. Got here in August to start doing that. I basically get to shadow different dietitians or people that are in the food and nutrition world. And part of that rotation is hanging out with Shaylee at the Beef Council.
Yeah, the internship, Shaylee. Why don't you talk about that? Of course, we'll talk a ton about the Beef Council, montanabeefcouncil.org. I guess the thing that stands out to me is how many different programs you guys are involved in, and also how good you make that beef look on the website.
Well, thank you. Yes, but of all the things that we do, whether it's beef promotion, research, and education, nutrition is something that rings near and dear to our hearts. Producers want to be able to have a very strong, wholesome product and know that they can provide that to consumers with confidence. And that's where nutrition becomes important to us. So we have years and years of foundational research for on behalf of the Beef Checkoff talking about beef nutrition, all the way from, can you give beef to infants at 6 months old? And is that good? Is it not? It's great, by the way. All the way into aging with grace and helping with sarcopenia and muscle degeneration. So making sure that beef can help be a part of every stage of your life. So that's where nutrition comes into play for us, and why it's wonderful that we're able to host a registered dietetic intern. Lauren is our first, and then we'll have one more in March as well. But we're excited to have Lauren with us to see kind of behind the curtains a little bit with us, and excited to have that.
Every day is meat day in Montana.
We just play that every now and again because it's so true, and we need to hear that. That's the governor from couple of years ago. Lauren Black, again, Master's of Science in Animal Science, I guess.
Yes.
And that's a prerequisite for being a dietitian. I guess I'm learning that. I kind of want to talk about is it every day beef day in Texas? But I think I know the answer to that as well. What got you into being a dietitian?
Yeah, great question. I actually wanted to be a veterinarian, and so that's why I went to Texas A&M as an animal science major, but quickly figured out that wasn't the path for me. But I loved learning about agriculture. I didn't grow up with an ag background, so it was all kind of new for me to be in that world. And I just got really passionate about nutrition, and I had a lot of professors and a big support system that kind of guided me into how do I connect nutrition with agriculture. And that's kind of why I stayed on that animal science path and ended up doing my master's in animal science as well. It's very unique for a dietitian to have that degree. Normally they have degrees in nutrition or in biology, you know, more science-based. Well, animal science is very science-based, but more of those traditional routes. So I do have that unique background in ag, and I've always wanted to pursue that field of marrying agriculture with nutrition.
I find that fascinating. And Shaylee, you mentioned that as well, that seems to be kind of unique, that Lauren's going to have a background that most dietitians don't have.
That's correct. You know, pretty awesome experience that she's able to create, and excited to see where she goes with her future. And I hope that we're able to give her a little bit of foundation here at the Montana Beef Council and understanding the beef checkoff and research, beef nutrition research that we have, that the industry has funded to celebrate beef as a nutritional, you know, super one ingredient, perfect product for you. So excited to see where she's able to go with that.
I know that experience will kind of grow as you walk into it. But what do you think comes of that unique background when we look at human consumption?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm definitely really passionate about policy. And I think that's a huge reason that connects agriculture and human nutrition is how in agriculture producing food, right? So it's going to be consumed by people. It needs to be consumed by people. And there are a lot of policies that influence how that happens. And I think dietitians can be a huge voice in connecting producers with how food is distributed to people. So that's kind of where I see myself going with it.
And are you a cook as well?
I am, yeah. Yes. Yeah, my mom taught me how to cook, you know, from an early age. I love food, obviously. So I do cook a lot, and I really enjoy it.
I like how we kind of chatted a bit earlier, and you said, yes, I learned to cook. My mom passed along. Mm-hmm. And it got me thinking about how we became nutritionally aware in our country, so to speak. It probably went through a lot of, you know, good times and bad times in terms of our information on that. How do we become nutritionally aware in this country?
Well, it is definitely based on family systems, right? And also social and economic barriers, right? Whatever your environment is how you're going to engage with food. So you look at history, there are so many different events that kind of influence what food people have access to, what they like to consume, what their cultural and ethnic backgrounds are. So it is definitely passed down through generations. And part of being a dietitian is understanding those differences around the country. You know, the country is very diverse. And so how can I support, you know, those generational eating habits?
The sustainability of agriculture is a very, it's an important point for us to, I think, expound upon here, because there's less and less of a footprint in terms of labor in agriculture. So the reach of that to the general public is less and less as well. Is that an issue that you see?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's something like 1% of people in the United States are involved with agriculture. So when you think about the whole country, you know, not seeing where their food is coming from, that was me. You know, I was that person. I'm from Austin, Texas. So a city of 1 million people, that's how many people are in Montana. So there's definitely these huge differences across the country of people who know where their food is coming from and a lot of people who don't. And that does create a lot of fear, you know, and misconceptions. And it's really easy for information to spread when there's a huge group of people that don't really know where it comes from. And there's a very small group of people who do.
Shaylee is executive director of the Montana Beef Council. You'd probably want to weigh in on that.
You know, we had the opportunity to spend last week at the Montana Stockers Convention, Montana Cattle Women's Annual Convention, and take Lauren there and show her around, help her meet some of those wonderful, gritty, hardy ranchers that we have here in Montana, and learn more about them and explore that so that hopefully she, in her future, can share those stories, learning from them and the food systems that she's seen in Montana. And then we'll transition, and I'm going to introduce her to some other dietitians and food programs here in Montana next week as we visit with the Backpacks Program and Billings Education Foundation and learning from those dietitians that have been involved in that for a long time. So getting to see the full breadth of where food comes from and having a great foundation for that and all the way to, you know, some some of our systems that need some help, you know, with school food service, for instance, and making sure that students have great access to good nutrition, whether it be on that cafeteria lunch or through a backpack program.
Yeah, I can't help think about the producer partnership when you talk about the school food service program and how instrumental they have been in feeding a lot of hungry communities.
Absolutely. They've been such a champion of school and just feeding, you know, feeding hungry communities and making sure that beef is on every plate in that sense.
Yeah, producer partnership. Give you guys a shout out because you earn it all the time. Lauren Black, I got a breakup coming here. It probably wasn't the first time you were at a stock growers type meeting, so to speak. But what did you take away from that then? What does a future dietitian, master of animal sciences, learn on the ground from folks who are, you know, working it with the sweat of their brow?
Definitely. Yeah, I learned a lot about the different perspectives, right? So I'm from Texas, and I've heard a little bit about producers there and what people need and want in that agricultural industry. But Montana is very different. You know, they're producing the same product, right, beef, but hearing the voices of the producers here and actually listening to the issues that they care about, what's important to them, what they're looking for in the next year, that was all very eye-opening for me, and I'm really thankful I was able to be there for that.
You haven't been at Montana State long, but long enough, I suppose, to get caught up in this whole football thing going on, eh?
Right, yeah.
What's your, again, day-to-day at Montana State University? What do you do?
Oh, I do something different every day. Every week or every couple of weeks, I get to follow around a new person. So I'm with Shaylee for 3 weeks, but she's my sixth rotation so far.
Ah, wow.
So I've been to a lot of different organizations, some food service programs, community programs, extension. And next year, I'll work in a hospital for 4 months. So it's kind of a lot of different experiences.
It's a longer internship or program than I thought. Is it a two-year program for you?
Or? It's 8 months, actually,
it's 8 months.
9 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every day is Meat Day in Montana.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening?
I'm mesmerized already.
In the lane, snow is glistening.
Hey, we're talking a little bit about that. Well, it's Friday the 13th, right? You know, are you superstitious about the... I'm not, right? I mean, there's enough going on in my head that I don't need this silly thing going on. But where is the origin of this fear for Friday the 13th? Do you know? I might tell you about that later. Friday the 13th, 7 o'clock tonight, the Cats will take on Idaho in the FCS playoffs. They creamed Idaho last time, and it'll be a much closer game. Idaho has one of their quarterbacks back in action, and they're a better team. So that'll be fun, and to catch that on all those affiliate stations across Montana. Many of them are Voices of Montana affiliates as well. In studio is Shaylee Harney, Executive Director of the Montana Beef Council. It is montanabeefcouncil.org, and we've just barely scratched the surface, Shaylee, of what the Beef Council does and who they are. Lauren Black is with us. She is a dietetic intern at Montana State University. Does have an Instagram page if you want to go farm to fork. Dietetic on Instagram and a future registered dietitian. And as I heard you say, they're just not slapping on a tag. They're actually making you earn it, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah,
they are.
Yeah. So let's get to some of these questions that I think are general for people when they talk about nutrition. I think we have an idea of what's good and what's bad, but I think it's only just very minimal of how much understanding we do have. Where do you want to start? What would be the first thing and the biggest thing that people need to know about, you know, a nutritious diet?
Well, you know, you pointed out a lot of people understand what's good and what's bad. And I would say I think that's true. You know, a lot of people know kind of what should be healthy, what should not be healthy. But I think the disconnect there is trying to make really big changes. For a lot of people, I think the smallest changes are some of the biggest and best ones that you can make for your life. You probably already know what you can do differently. You're just maybe taking too big of a step, right? So there's a lot of small changes that people can make, you know, a couple times a week that can really affect their life in a very beneficial way. You don't need to go on, you know, a huge fasting diet or a juice cleanse or anything like that. Those are all kind of not sustainable in the long run. So that's my biggest piece of advice is make a small change.
I like that. But then as a dietitian or a nutritionist, you're dealing with people's lifestyles as well. So it's not just science, is it? There's a lot of psychology in this.
Definitely, for sure. I have taken counseling classes. I've taken motivational interviewing classes. So they do kind of teach us about that psychology side. And you're exactly right. Aside from being a dietitian, I'm actually more of a counselor. So I'm actually asking people questions about their life, about what they enjoy, what works for them and their families. You know, everyone's going to be different. And so I kind of just ask you questions until you arrive at the answer of what's going to be healthy for you.
How much of our eating is emotional eating then? You know, it's got to be 50% or something to that effect.
Hey, and you know? I think it should be. You know, you should enjoy the food that you eat. Yeah. You should get pleasure out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Shaylee Harney, follow along in that vein as well. Nutrition, and as with the Montana Beef Council as well, getting people to understand the value of it. Now, beef, we know it's not cheap, right? And so we have to get the most out of it. It's really, I mean, every day in Montana is meat day, as the governor said. Talk about how we incorporate that into our lifestyle so that it's sustainable.
You bet. Well, I like to think of beef as a very tasty multivitamin. It is the wonderfully nature-packaged, you know, one-ingredient item, and it's so nutrient-dense. When you have 10 essential nutrients, you know, zinc, iron, and protein, zinc, very important this time of year to keep us healthy with our immune systems, iron and protein, you can't say enough good about it, and protein to help you feel full throughout the day so you're not snacking as much. So great opportunities for us to be able to share that and really bring that to life. And the wonderful things about it are there's, you know, kind of a price point for everyone. As we're thinking about the holidays coming up, there are some different roast swaps that you can do. But even in your everyday life, just thinking about beef as an ingredient and incorporating some protein throughout the day is going to help. So maybe it's a smaller portion. A recommended serving portion is 3 ounces. Well, that's pretty darn small. It's the size of your cell phone. So it doesn't seem like a lot to take in, but you spread that over, you know, the course of a day and you're going to feel that a little bit differently.
I eat the first 3 ounces without even tasting it, you know.
There you go.
But I really do love beef an awful lot. Small steps, Lauren, as you talked about. What are some of those small steps we can engage in again?
You know, a lot of people undereat vegetables. And I think that's kind of the biggest thing I point out first. You know, take the food you're already eating and just add something to it. A lot of people are enjoying beef. I think that's great. You know, like Shaylee said, it is a multivitamin. It has a ton of great nutrients. But pair it with something that has fiber. Pair it with something that has other, you know, micronutrients, you know, and you can enjoy that as well. It doesn't have to be, oh, well, I can't have beef today. I need to have a vegetable. It's not like that. Just pair it with something you already enjoy.
Here's a question that I kind of like we drew up here about some of the biggest myths about nutrition, both on what we, you know and then what we think we don't know.
Mm-hmm. The biggest myth, there's a perfect diet. There's no perfect diet.
I like you a lot. I really like this one, you know, yeah, because that resonates with people, mm-hmm. right? You don't have to have a perfect diet. You're not going to get there.
Yeah. So it's about those small changes. It's about doing something a little bit over a long period of time, right? It's not about making a huge change. It's not about following the perfect diet. There is none, and everyone's going to be different. And Montana is surrounded by beef. There's beef producers here. People love to consume it, and all over the country, that's true. So keep eating that. You know, it's great, and pair it with other things that are also great, like vegetables, like whole grains, like fruits.
And we've got New Year's resolutions coming up, and I'm sure that there's plenty of studies about the longevity or not of those New Year's resolutions. So a great time to think about your eating patterns and eating healthy. But any thoughts on, as people come into the new year, some tips for making it longer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Well, you know, some great goals to have is just adding something once per week, you know, that I think that's an easy change a lot of people can make.
Might I recommend beef?
Of course. I would recommend that as well. Lean beef it's so great. Adding that to your diet if you're not consuming it already. Physical activity is another one, you know, maybe you have a nice steak for dinner, some vegetables, go on a walk after. You can do that once a week. That's a really easy change for your New Year's resolutions. Doesn't have to be end all be all. Huge changes.
But get to thinking about it too. And one of the things I think that is recommended is that you try to pull sugars out of your diet. But sugar is my superfood. So how do I? No, that's one thing that I think people do have a lot control over. One of the questions is, you know, how do we know how much sugar is in our products or salt or things like that? Mm-hmm. You know, getting a handle on those labels. Any advice?
Definitely. Yeah. The nutrition label. I think a lot of people don't read it. There's tons of information on that label. It can be hard to read and keep up with that regularly. So I can totally appreciate that. Sugars and sodium, they're in a lot of the processed foods that we consume. A lot of, you know, things that you buy off the shelf are probably will have that in there. And it's not that they're going to kill you if you eat, you know, an insane amount of them. But it is important to kind of watch that and make sure that you're incorporating a balanced diet, right? You're consuming those products with other foods that are, you know, like beef, that are whole foods, less processed. So reading that label, the biggest thing to pay attention to is that sodium and the added sugars, because that's going to be the two biggest ingredients that you can find in those processed foods. So trying to keep that at 5% or below, just when you're looking at those labels. And doesn't mean you can't purchase those options, you know. It just means to kind of limit them, maybe balance them throughout the diet. And a lot of people think, you know, canned foods and frozen foods are going to be have those added sugars and sodium, but a lot of times they don't. You can buy reduced sodium canned options. You can buy frozen fruits and vegetables that are going to be just as healthy for you as fresh. Balance it out.
And I think those things make a real immediate difference, especially if you're cutting back on sugars. So paying attention will help. Are there superfoods out there?
There are no superfoods.
No.
I hate to break it to you.
Beer is not a superfood?
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no.
No, really, it's my mantra. It's all about balance.
Okay.
You see a lot of trends out there, I think, and we look at food trends and, you know, just from the beef industry and side of things, what's the hottest ingredient going to be, or and then, of course, how can that compare with beef. So I think you hear a lot about that, or kale was probably a really big fun one over the last number of years. You know, add that into your smoothie and you just won't taste it at all, but you still taste it and it gets in your teeth. But I think, you know, that's just such a great reminder that the balance and moderation is really something wonderful, and how we work with dietitians, whether it's taking them on a ranch tour so they can see where beef comes from and feel confident in that, to maybe preparing it or talking to customers and patients or clients about it so that they can feel confident in our product.
I got another one I want to get into, maybe a little bit of time here. Nutrition, how does it impact mental health? How does it impact the cognitive function?
Oh, it has a huge impact. I mean, like we were mentioning earlier, that psychological, you know, impact of nutrition, it definitely does affect mental health, and it's finding pleasure in what you eat, right? And having a balanced diet, having that extra fiber, having that high protein from beef and all the micronutrients it provides, that's going to be really beneficial for your gut, which does have an impact. Your gut health does have an impact on your brain.
Do you deal with food addictions too as a nutritionist?
You know, I haven't experienced a whole lot of that yet, but I have, you know, been taught about it in some of my classes and in some of my readings. So it is kind of an issue, and it's really about finding that balance. How do people incorporate foods that they enjoy so that they don't feel guilty about eating them?
Shaylee Harney, Executive Director, Montana Beef Council. Lauren Black is with us, a future registered dietitian and with the dietetic internship program at Montana State University. You guys have any Friday the 13th superstitions, Shaylee?
Not so much here.
Yeah.
No, it's not surprising that it happened in October, though.
Yeah, right? Yeah. How about you, Lauren?
I don't.
Good. Okay. Amelia Soroki joins us as well, and she is a marketing specialist here. And good morning, Amelia. How are you? I'm glad you called in today. You got any Friday the 13th superstitions?
I don't. And, you know, maybe I should. We're going skiing today. Hopefully there's not any bad Friday the 13th.
All right. I knocked on some wood for you here, okay? Yeah.
Thanks.
There's enough stuff going on. I don't need to believe in that. But I don't step on cracks still. I guess I got some. I got enough of them. Hey, thanks for coming on. I have to tell a little story. Your dad, who runs Homestead Catering, catered a meal for us at the station. It was so good. It was beef. And it was almost the best beef I had ever tasted. Honestly, they did a pretty good job at the luncheon at the Montana Stock Growers Association. I liked that cut too. And I was just, but I guess you're not going to share that one. It's way too super secret for that, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately, that is one of our only secret recipes. My dad owned a restaurant in Cody for about 20 years. And one of the things he became really known for was cooking beef. And the recipe that we had essentially at our party was a tri-tip recipe. You know, one of the great things I think about beef is just how versatile it is. So while I'm not going to share that specific recipe with you, I do think it's awesome that you can cook, you know, like a tri-tip hot and fast like that. So you can still have, you know, medium rare or rare, or turn it into a roast or use it on the smoker. It's just very versatile and diverse.
I know it's a silly question, but where did you learn how to cook? Obviously, you from your parents, right?
Yeah, my dad obviously is a great cook. You know, he's been in fancy food shows all across the country. He was also a chocolatier for a while. So from him, and then also, you know, my mom's a great cook. My family is a ranching family from central Montana. So you kind of have to know how to cook when there's not a restaurant around.
But you get like, respect, you get high marks for being a good cook in those circles, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I take pride in cooking. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. Tell us what are you sharing with us for the holidays?
So one of my favorite recipes is a beef short rib, a braised beef short rib. And it's something that's super impressive. And when you have company coming over or guests coming over, it, you know, looks like you spent a ton of time and put a bunch of effort into it. But really, it's not that difficult at all. And I think it's a great way to utilize a cut of beef that most people aren't really sure where to start with. So it's a really simple one. Salt and pepper your beef short ribs really heavily. And then sear them in some oil. Brown them on all sides in a Dutch oven, and then cook essentially some onions, garlic, carrots, a little bit of tomato paste in with them. And then it gets where it's probably not as healthy. So I'm sorry. Maybe it's the balance thing that Lauren was talking about earlier. but you dump in essentially a whole bottle of red wine and add your short ribs back to the pan with a little bit of beef base and cook them in the oven for a few hours. And it's so simple and so easy. You can add rosemary or thyme or whatever herbs, you know, go with the rest of the food you're cooking. But it looks really impressive, and it's a cheaper way, you know, instead of maybe doing like prime rib, if that's not in the budget this year, short ribs are, you know, still a really great, impressive option for the holidays without costing quite as much.
And you can put a couple of good size racks together in a meal like that?
Yeah, so usually the short ribs are cut into kind of little chunks. So usually they're like a 4-inch or 6-inch kind of chunk. But they serve quite a few people, even though they're bone in. Once they're cooked, the bones slide right out and you can get nice shreddy fall apart meat. I've even used this recipe to make like a beef ragu with pasta before. And it's always turned out great.
Lauren Black, is it okay to drink wine while, use wine while cooking?
I would say so. I love cooking with wine.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
And does it do anything nutritionally for it?
You know, wine does have some antioxidants in it. I wouldn't recommend over consuming alcohol, you know, just because that's what the guideline says. But it does have some antioxidants in it, and science says that could be beneficial. So,
Amelia, you just said salt and pepper, and then people want, they can add some rosemary. That's one thing I think about beef is that you don't have to do a lot to it if you don't want to. But if you want to, it kind of accepts a lot of these kinds of flavorings pretty well, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you can really get as creative or as simple as you want with any beef recipes. And I think it's really, because it's so diverse, you can use it for any meal of the day. And one place that, I don't know, we use a lot of beef in our family, and one place that we use it that people always comment to me they haven't thought to use before is for breakfast. So I use beef like carne asada, essentially, or I'll make little steak strips and make breakfast burritos out of them. Really great way to use up some of those like tougher cuts of beef and use them for breakfast, where it ends up being about the same cost as bacon would be. Honestly, bacon's really expensive, so it ends up being about the same cost, and it tastes way better and, you know, keeps you full for quite a bit longer.
And how do you cook that?
Usually I just do, so I'll take like a skirt steak or one of the traditionally more tough cuts of steak and cut it pretty lean, and the night before I'll just throw it in a marinade, you know, usually like some lime juice, olive oil, salt, pepper, cumin, oregano, put it in the fridge overnight, and then when I wake up in the morning, I just sear it really quick, slice it up, and it's that fast.
Wow. I like that. Lauren, is there a right way and a wrong way to cook nutritionally?
I can't say that there is, you know. Will you eat it after you cook it? Then you should cook it like that.
I like those answers. Amelia, thank you for doing this. I appreciate that. What do you hear when people are talking about the beef industry right now. Is it on people's plates? Is it on their minds? Is it in their diets like it ought to be?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I always think people can eat more beef. But I think there's been a huge push since COVID to get a lot more of that directed beef onto people's plates. And people do genuinely care where food comes from. And luckily, Montana has been kind of on the forefront of that with the Montana Beef Council, because they established a beef directory to try and help those consumers reach the producers who have beef to sell directly.
That's one thing, Shaylee, we should talk about right now because it's teed up for us, that beef directory. We haven't hit a lot of the things that the Beef Council does. One of them is good recipes as well, and I was going to have you follow up with that, but talk about the directory.
Absolutely. It's like I paid you, Amelia. I can't believe this.
I know,
You're just knocking it out of the park for me. So, yes, on montanabeefcouncil.org, you can find the Montana Beef Directory. It's going to come up very first thing when you open up our website. And there you can click through drop-down menus. If you're in a certain county, look for beef from Carbon County to Shoto County, you know, whichever you want to look for, you can find beef near you. And on the producer side, shout out to producers. We're always looking for more producers to add. It's free. There's no cost to this. We just want to promote you and your product and help more Montanans have access to more beef. So
share one of your, because there are a number of good recipes on your website. I think that I like how the Beef Council is not just out there selling raw beef. You know, they're showing you how to make it.
Yep. Start to finish. Absolutely. I love that Amelia touched on beef for breakfast, too, because we have some great breakfast recipes on beefitswhatsfordinner.com where you can get all of those tips as well as snacks. You know, you're on the go, especially these busy seasons in between, or if you're headed to your next holiday party, a lot of great snacks in there as well. So do check that out. But what I did bring with me today was a recipe from the Rex, for any of you around Billings that remember that. We used to host cooking classes with the executive chef there, and he would always share his prime rib recipe. They were very well known for their prime rib. And again, it starts with all of your big meat and roast products. It starts with a good meat product first. So start with a great piece of beef first, and then just adding simple salt, pepper, basil, and granulated garlic. And that was the roast that was traditionally used at the Rex. And you let that sit and rest. That salt helps break it down a little bit, and just let it rest and tenderize the meat. And then you're going to put that into the oven. There's a couple different methods depending on which way you like to go. You can start it out really hot and fast and then low and slow, or consistent all the way throughout. But you want to get to about 125 to 130 degrees when you pull that out. And then you want to let it rest, because that classic prime rib picture that you're going to see, a beautiful red meat, is going to be medium, or 145, 155 degrees when you want to eat it and enjoy it. So, and of course, some great sides for that, like creamy horseradish and au jus, just tops off. So a wonderful way to celebrate your holidays.
Prime ribs, one of the best eaten meals out there. It really is. Amelia, how do you cook prime rib?
So we do it with some pretty heavy spices on the outside. So really like coarse ground black pepper, really big coarse sea salt, a ton of rosemary, lots of chopped raw garlic, some thyme, a little bit of Montreal steak seasoning goes a long way. And then we just kind of coat, like really pack it on the outside. And we in our family eat a lot of rare, like very rare meat. So we don't end up cooking it for very long. But that's usually the route we go.
That sounds so good. Lauren Black, Austin, Texas. How do Texans cook their meat, so to speak?
You know, we do eat a lot of prime rib, but we also eat a ton of brisket. Mm. Just smoking brisket on the grill. That's kind of one of my favorite Christmas go-tos.
Nice. Hey, Amelia, thank you for that. I appreciate that coming on. I know you're a wonderful cook, and I was happy that you said, okay, Tom, I'll call in. And it's great. And say, give our best to your family as well, okay?
I will. Thanks, Tom.
Marketing specialist Amelia Soroki. Again, Homestead Catering is, I guess I can give a personal recommendation, but that's where it all started for me. Anyway, in understanding a little bit more, looked a little bit at critical minerals a week back. China has cut off a supply of a number of critical minerals for the United States. What does that mean? We've got that on the program on Monday. So look forward to learning more about that. Nutrition, or future nutritionist, Lauren Black is with us, dietetic intern at Montana State University. One of her rotations is with the Montana Beef Council, and Executive Director Shaylee Harney is with us. MontanaBeefCouncil.org for that one. And Lauren's on Instagram. It's farmtofork.dietetic to get more on that. So where do you want to go here? Amelia was mentioning something about
Team Beef Montana.
Team Beef Montana,
yeah. Yeah, I'd love to share a little bit more about that. So here in Montana and across a lot of the states, across the country, we have what's called Team Beef Montana, and that is a group of beef enthusiast athletes, but they can be any type of athlete. It's not just limited to runners. It can be walkers. We're about to bring on some swimmers, I think. Really, anyone that is proud to wear the beef jersey and wants to talk about beef and uses it as part of their strength training and recovery, we'd love to have them as part of the team, and you can join that on our website. Free to join. We just want about a bunch of walking or running beef advertisements out there by wearing that Team Beef jersey.
Yeah, talk about the Beef Council. I know it started in 1954, so it's been around a little bit in Montana.
It has, yeah. We have a great history in Montana. We were the second state beef council to ever be created in the country, followed by California, only by a number of months. So a long history with a great board of directors, all volunteer leaders, 12 of them from around the state, that make the decisions on how beef checkoff dollars will be spent. That's the producers, 50 cents here in Montana, and then 50 cents onto the national to make sure that we are making the best investment choices for their beef checkoff dollars for beef promotion, research, and education.
Nice. Laura, just 30 seconds here, or I guess it's a little more than that. You've chosen a profession that is out there to help people.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Talk about how you're going to try to make the most of that.
Yeah, well, I really am passionate about helping people feel comfortable with what they're eating. You know, I think it's a huge thing. It's personal to everyone, and there's a lot of information about what you should and shouldn't be eating. And I think the way it's delivered can sometimes be harmful. And so as a dietitian, I really want to be on the forefront of understanding the cultural differences in the population of the United States and understanding food systems and foodways and how that impacts what people consume. So I'm really proud to be here in Montana pushing beef.
We're glad to have you here. Yeah, it was fun to have you in studio, too. Thanks for coming in, Shaylee and Lauren. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Go
yeah.
beef.
Yeah.
And go Bobcats.
And what's for dinner?
Every day is meat day in Montana.
Yes.
I mean, don't you love that?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yep. Good luck to the Bobcats. And when do the Grizz play this weekend? Have you got that?
Crickets.
What? Nothing? All right, we'll be watching tonight. You guys have a good one. See you Monday. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.